I'm good.
If we can get started with the meeting formalities, and then we will move into our informational items as we did in the previous committee, and then move to our action items. Minutes? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Aye. The minutes of January 11th have been approved. With that, we can move directly to our first information item. Monthly operating fiscal report.
Yes, Mr. Harkin will get that report.
It'll be on page 11 of your package this morning. This is the December financial report on the operating budget. I've got a monthly report on the operating budget, a quarterly report on the CIP. Just to remind the board, we had been doing quarterly reports on both, but because of some uncertainty about rail ridership growth and rail passenger revenue, the budget committee asked us to go back to monthly reporting, so that's what's going on here. Again, this is the midpoint in the fiscal year, and I wanted to just take a brief moment to kind of let us know where we are in terms of our operating finances. On page 11, just a quick snapshot in the middle, shows that revenues are coming in under budget by about 2%. Expenses are also under budget by about 2%, so the net result at the subsidy line is 2% favorability. We're coming in basically under budget halfway through the fiscal year. We have been concerned about some expenses that will be hitting us in the last half of the year, workers' comp, electricity. We've mentioned all that stuff before. So while we're under budget right this moment, we are a little concerned as we go into the latter half of the year what's going to challenge us on the expense side. Looking at ridership on a year-to-date basis, rail ridership continues to grow, but it's kind of anemic compared to what it's been in the last couple of years. It's hovering just below 1%, and that's consistent with what it's been doing basically since July. Bus ridership's doing fantastic. We've got over 2% growth on a year-to-date basis, and in December in particular, it was a fabulous month. Bus ridership grew 4% in the month, and weekend bus ridership went up almost 9%. The good news from December was weather. It was a very, very mild December. Last couple of years we've had snow in December. This year we had pretty decent weather. We also had a fair number of events going on in the city, Caps games, Hoyas games, those kind of things. And those events tend to bring people out, especially when the weather is real nice. So in summary, on the operating budget, halfway through the fiscal year, we are under budget. We're continuing to experience ridership, not quite as high as expected on the railroad, but better than expected on the bus company. And things are good midway through the year.
What a difference a month makes.
One question. On our bus ridership, are we able to isolate where that growth is occurring, get any indication of what we're doing right there, see if there's some ways that we can replicate that? And it'd be helpful to find out if there, you know, what are the factors that are going into that increased ridership in those areas?
I agree. We can do a better job on the railroad because of the fare media, the way people buy their fare. On the bus system, we can certainly track ridership to the extent people are using smart cards. And that's probably a very good indication of overall ridership. So the short answer is yes, we can look at that, and we do. I'll see if I can bring back a report to more segment the market and let you see where the growth is happening.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Further questions? Okay, continue.
Okay. The next section of the report is beginning on page 29, and this is, again, a mid-year report. It's the second quarter report on the capital improvement program. If we could flip into page 30, I'll just give you a quick summary of where we are on the CIP. Page 30 shows the summary, the major categories of the capital improvement program: infrastructure renewal, which is maintenance of buildings and way, the rail car program and the bus program, which you heard about at the previous committee, and some system expansion planning, which at this point really has no money budgeted. The IRP, the maintenance program, is doing gangbuster. It is basically caught up. This was one part of the Metro Matters program that got off to a little bit of a slow start. Expenditures weren't tracking according to budget. But we've caught up, and at this point we are basically 100% on budget, meaning the money has been spent completely according to plan, and the maintenance of way, the maintenance of facilities, is happening on schedule. The rail car program and the bus program, because of delays that were addressed earlier in the previous committee, well known, both of those we expect to catch up the bus program in particular should be caught up by the end of this year. And again, this is just in terms of expenses, not necessarily in term of, you know, the delivery. The buses are here, as you heard. This is just paying off the invoices. So, in summary, we've got a mid-year budget of about $300 million. Actual cash expended is just under $200 million. So we're a little better than 50% of the way through this year's money. The next two pages I want to draw your attention to, because this is something we really haven't gone into detail in the past on, and that's debt service. The Metro Matters program has a built-in assumption about debt service. There's a fixed level of local jurisdictional contributions, and then there's the federal formula grants, which are pretty predictable. And those give us a steady stream of money coming into the budget, but the cash flows going out are bumpy, as in any capital program. There's spikes and valleys. And Metro Matters allows for us to use debt service to even out those spikes. Up until this year, we really hadn't needed to enter into any significant debt. As I said, with the IRP in particular and the railcar program, the bus program run behind schedule, the expenses were under budget. So we hadn't hit that debt wall. We've now gone there. And it's not, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but I'm just letting everyone know that Metro had been sitting on a pretty large cash balance from the prior to Metro Matters type of budgeting where the money was deposited here in advance of any work getting done. Most of that cash has now been fully expended, and we've kind of tripped over the point where we need to start issuing debt. And that's what the two lines on the bottom of page 31 talk about. Internal borrowing is our treasurer's office having the ability through the Metro Matters agreement to take cash on hand and basically apply it to expenditures that come due, and then we'll repay that money in future years when we've got federal and local funds. The line above it, commercial paper, is actual debt that has been issued. It's short-term, as it says, commercial paper. We've got $80 million on the street to date. Just letting everybody know that the cash has been expended, and this is kind of a marked point in this budget process, because there's been a lot of talk about Metro sitting on tons of money and not spending it, and concerns about jurisdictions sending cash down here that we weren't needing. We've gone beyond that now.
Mr. Chairman? Yes, Mr. Kaufman.
Is there any question or concern at any point about our anti-deficiency standards kicking in and how we do it?
No, not at all. As long as the Metro Matters agreement is in place, which is out through 2010 or 13, depending on how you read it, the commitment of the local governments to contribute cash according to that schedule is what prevents us from breaking any anti-deficiency rules. Section 22 of the compact is where that's all defined, and the lawyers got all together, and when Metro Matters was signed, that becomes the backstop that prevents that.
Mr. Zimmerman? Okay. Any further questions?
Just for your information, I'm not going to take you through the next, 80 pages, but so you can see, one of the things that Chuck promised when he started with us about a year ago was to bring a higher level of visibility into the capital improvement program. Previously, our budget documents kept it at a 30,000-foot level, and you could only see spreadsheets and high-level roll-ups. You couldn't see the real detail of what was going on in the CIP. These things that we refer to as project detail sheets are a work in progress. Some are better than others, but we're fine-tuning them. But this is an effort to let you and the public see what that $700 million a year of capital budgeting is intended to actually buy us.
So we now have it?
Yes.
So members at your leisure.
At 6.5. Thank you,
John. You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next action item, information item.
The next one is an update on our 08 budget and where we stand, and a bit of a reminder. In the organizational review that's going on as we speak, the firm will be looking at the vacancy reduction, the additional administrative cuts, professional
technical. Note the presence of Councilman Graham, and I will turn over the gavel.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry.
Okay. I'll jump back to the beginning on this one. An update on our 08 budget, where we stand both in the process and financially. We have a number of items on the agenda page: vacancy reduction, admin cuts, etc. The organizational review is looking at those things, so we haven't forgotten those. Those will come back to you. And if I could draw your attention to page 95. The 08 budget, I'm at the top of the page. When we released the 08 budget, we were projecting a shortfall of some $64 million. Two things have occurred. The funding required for the organizational review was budgeted at $800,000. It's $150,000 now, so there's $600,000.
Page, I'm sorry?
Page 95. So there's $600,000 that we've recognized as not being required for that study. And then the discussion we had several weeks ago on the deferred revenue policy, if the board adopts that policy, we would recognize an additional $12 million in revenue. So good news is that there's $12.7 million in additional revenue or reduced expenditures, but a net that could be applied to many things, service reductions or funding those or whatever the board may choose. But financially, that's an update on the 08 budget. And on the lower half of the same page, we will be coming back to you, as Mr. Kaufman had requested, with policy, proposed policies on a number of these things. The operating contingency funding we brought back at the last meeting. The claims reserve funding will come back to you on March 1st. And the rest of those we'll be addressing as we go through the process.
Thank you very much. Are there questions? Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Kaufman.
And just noting the, I think, significant role that this modified deferred revenue recognition could realize. And we're beginning, since all of the, virtually all the proposed bus cuts, to realize the budget going in as proposed for bus cuts in Virginia. If we were to make this modification, we could proceed with not implementing those bus cuts. Again, we're beginning to, Mrs. Hutchins and I are beginning to hear from the writers, our colleagues on the board, and it's not from the usual suspects either. It's been ahead of us. We've been hearing from some few old corporate titans concerned about services to their employees. So it's a nice change to see people concerned.
Further discussion?
And this deferred revenue modification, at what, you know, I know there were some questions about that at the committee at one point, in terms of, so where do we actually decide at what percentage?
At the 5%, which was what the accountants all seemed most comfortable with.
And the time period for that would be?
I'm sorry?
If you just let us know by the time you adopt the budget, which is targeted for May.
Thank you. We can put a placeholder on this because this is obviously relevant to our future discussions in a number of different ways. But we discussed this at length at the last budget committee meeting, and I don't know how much more there is to be said about it. It seems like a very prudent course to me that you're recommending. Some of us might be inclined to be a little bit more aggressive, but all of that can be discussed later on, I think. Right. Okie dokie. Further?
Yes, sir, that's it.
All right, so let's see, where are we now? Let's return to the action item. I apologize for being tardy on this meeting, but let's proceed to the action item, which is a recommendation to defer action on the FY 08 fare and service adjustments by our new general manager, Mr. Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As discussed earlier, we're in the process of looking at every expenditure in the agency, including our staffing levels and what programs should we be operating that are directly related to the provision of transit services in the community. As a result, I'm requesting that the board defer any discussions or actions on a proposed fare adjustment or service reduction. Service reductions are the last thing that we should propose as an organization. We're in the business of providing service. We're not in the business of cutting service. As we look at the organization, I can assure you we will look at every dime that we spend. We'll look at every position that we have to ensure that those expenditures or those activities are absolutely necessary for the operation of the organization. After we complete the assessment, We know there will be additional savings, the amount we won't know for the next month or so, but we are very certain about that. This weekend, we're working on reviewing every element of the CIP and the capital program to look at capital projects that are completed but have not been closed out, to see if we can move those revenues, and to see if we can restructure the revenues that we have for capital program to free up any flexible funding that we could use for operations. So, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what I'm requesting is that we delay the discussion on any increases for FY08 and service reductions until after we complete this analysis of the organization.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cato. I'm going to entertain a motion to reflect your recommendation.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Mr. Zimmerman and seconded by Mayor Yule. I want to say how much I personally, as one member of this board, appreciate your recommendation. And at the one, what I would term the one substantive discussion that this committee has had about this issue, a number of members, you know, expressed concern and questioning about, you know, what we were proposing or seemed to be proposing, even though that those proposals did not have the full vetting, you know, of this board or this committee prior to being advanced. And so we got ourselves into a little bit of a sticky wicket, some of us think, you know, in last fall. And so this puts the brakes on that discussion, I think, in a very responsible way. It sends a message to the public that we are going to examine all of our options with great care, and we have a whole range of options. There's an A to Z situation here, but that we're certainly not at this point, you know, going to suggest to our ridership, to our consumers, that, you know, any kind of fare increase or policy that leads to a fare increase is agreed upon or is decided. So I think this is a prudent course of action that you're recommending to us, and I'm pleased to support it. Further discussion, Mayor Yule, Mr. Kaufman, Mr. Linton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I certainly share your comments, but one other aspect of the budget process that certainly all of us around the table, and particularly those of us that have to put budgets together for our respective jurisdictions, would like the same view to seriously considered in terms of subsidies. Not going to raise fares, and that's certainly an option that we always have. We always have the option of raising subsidies. I can tell you that, speaking of my particular city, that's not going to be something that's in the cards this year, because we're doing some tremendous belt tightening. City Council has established targets for city manager, whose budget comes out next week, and not only for the city manager, for the city's operation, but for the school system as well. And we're going to stick to those targets. And so there's not going to be any room to increase any subsidies to WMATA. So just want to get that on the
table. Thank you. Mr. Kaufman?
Just, Mr. Bader, if you could also further explain time implications here. I don't want us to inadvertently adopt optimism as a strategy and end up delaying by 6 months the implementation of a fare increase, and having to, as a result of a six-month delay, having put a double fare increase to make up the difference. So if you could help me understand, does this deferral still afford us enough time to both do the thorough cleansing review, and then, despite all of our best efforts, a fare increase remains necessary, would we still be able to have that effectuated at the start of the fiscal year?
We will do our best to have that done by the beginning of the budget year. Our estimate is going to be very tight. Again, we're taking an aggressive approach to find a way to close the $51 million gap. That's a huge change from where it was just a month and a half ago. I believe the gap was over $110 million, and we've closed it down to 51. We believe there's other steps that we can close most of the gap. Our target is, should there be a fare increase recommendation, that we're able to do so July 1. However, to be very candid and honest, I don't want to get the cart before the horse. I want to complete the process. There could be some impact to that, and again, should, I'm going to emphasize should, we come and request some fair adjustment, that could be delayed. And it wouldn't double the amount. It would delay the period of time that the fare increase would go into effect. And then talking to our financial staff, we'll be able to do so without any significant increases. That's not what I want to do. I would rather come to you and say no fare increases. That's my goal. If we can't do that, we will target July, but I cannot commit. We'll do everything possible. And if I could respond to the mayor, too, this will not be a shell game. We're not trying to dance with you and say we will cut this deficit by trying to get additional revenues from the jurisdictions. We will look, though, to look at our advertising budgets, the monies we get from the ads on our stations and our buses, to look at creative ways of getting additional revenues. But no, we will be very straightforward with the jurisdictions on exactly what we're doing.
Again, we just ask, Mr. Chairman, that if moving with alacrity, if you find that we can't realize this, I'd rather see a flare go up sooner rather than later, because you know, it's either if we can't get there, it's either something borne by our riders or by the funding jurisdictions. And engaging our riders as adults, reality is often hard math, but they need to know it sooner rather than later. And
absolutely.
Also, given our budget cycles, if we delay it too much, you know, we may go to the cookie jar of the local jurisdictions and there's nothing there.
That's very clear. It's a very clear direction.
Mr. Linton?
I think my questions and comments were quite similar. One, particularly in terms of stepping back on the calendar and recognizing that we have hearing processes, committee processes of the jurisdictions as their budgets are progressing, make sure that we have thought through meeting those deadlines as we proceed with our review so that all of those processes can take place in time for us to get a operating budget in place that we're working with. The other thing that I would mention, I know that we did have a fairly progressive fare structuring proposal that came out of some thought. One aspect of that proposal I would hope that we would give some thought to, and that is trying to find a way of getting smart trip cards into our ridership group. And if one of the things that I wanted to put on the table with that deferred revenue, if in fact 1 year of that or one portion of that could be used to try to find a way of providing free smart trip cards or something like that for a period of time so that we can get the smart trip cards out. I think that would both have some operating cost savings in the long term. So if there's some way of having our staff, Mr. Cato, look at that, I would like to make that suggestion.
Further discussion, Mr. Zimmerman?
Mr. Chairman, I'm very intrigued by that possibility. I think there would be benefits. So let me mention the financial benefits. I also think there's a potential for operational benefits, because we know that the cards are very well used on a rail system, but as yet not so well used on the bus system. And that means not only less convenience for people, but it takes a lot longer to board buses.
Boardings.
Mm-hmm. And if we could get most or something like the numbers we have on the rail system using it on the bus system, we'd be boarding much more quickly. That would show up, I believe, in the run times for our bus routes. I think it's worth taking.
Discussions?
I think this discussion goes to the point of the general manager's referral thesis. I think there is the desire to see a process for that we come back and really get as much information as possible to determine when we should do our service delivery before we put those things in clear. And I think that makes me feel better, because it is difficult for us as the service the last service that people look to for transportation alternatives, or as a primary piece, to think of how we might impact them when we are trying to build our service and the efficiency of it, and at the same time balance our budget with increases. So I think the discussion that we hear today is what I think hopefully gives us a broad discussion of what we value and do and we must quickly so that our customers understand what we're trying to provide for. And that's the most critical part of it.
Further discussion? Mr. Deegan?
Yeah. Mr. Cato, I want to commend you for taking the bold step to kind of shake this agency up and find that money to start with. But I also share Mr. Kaufman's concern that we don't want to get ourselves in a position where a fare increase is a fait accompli come July 1 because of having to adopt a budget without having the proper public hearings before our riders.
And Mr. Chairman, if I might. It's my understanding I have 30 days in order to meet all the timelines, in order to, should we not find sufficient savings, to come back to this committee and start those discussions. So we're going to be working very hard and burning all the oils that we can to get all that information together. And I am very mindful of the dates and the criticalness of any actions that we take be discussed in the public forum.
Well, let me seek some clarification on this, because if we were to act today, there would be time sufficient to comply with the compact requirements in terms of the processes. If we don't act today, and it appears as though this board is willing to accept your recommendation, it seems that way, then there is insufficient time under those processes to have a fare increase in place by the beginning of the fiscal year. Is that true or not true?
It's very tight, is the best way I can put it.
Very tight.
It's doable, and it's a much faster schedule than has ever been done before, but I don't think we're yet past the breaking point.
Okay, so then let's be clear about that. So as the general manager has advised us accurately, there is some further days.
Yes.
Perhaps as many as 30 days.
Yes.
Is that what I'm hearing from the general manager? Okay. Well, then we've had that clarification, so that we can then look forward to having further updates on a very quick turnaround at this point.
Yes.
Good. Okay. Further discussion. Okay. Then all those in favor. All those in favor of the motion to recommend deferring action on the FY08 fare and service adjustments, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The recommendation is adopted. Is there further business?
No, Mr. Chairman.
We have a language for motion for a executive session.
Mr. Chairman, we have a public
I just
wanted
to get a motion.
I have a motion. Do you want to make it? I move that the board meet an executive session to discuss issues consistent with board procedure Roman numeral 6.3. Is there a second? We move and second to discussion. We're hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. There being no further business, this meeting is at 10:30.
Here she comes.